And welcome into the Bruins Beat, presented by our friends over at Prize Picks. I am Evan Marinofsky. That's Connor Ryan. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing well. Got a little pastel look today. The weather's better. It kind of feels like, Evan? It feels like playoff hockey weather a little bit, right?
It does.
Just a little bit?
It does. And you know what I love about playoff hockey weather? It's so cool when you go to the Garden around playoff hockey and you go in, even if it's an 8 p.m. game, you go in at like 5:30, 6 o'clock, still light out. It's nice. People are in better moods than usual. I'm not going to say everybody's in a great mood, but people are in better moods than usual. It's sunny.
Until the game starts, yes.
Yes. Once the game starts, that mood goes out the window. But I love this weather. I love this time of year, except for one thing, the allergies. I just want to apologize to people before we start. I'm going to sniffle a few times. I'll try to mute my mic. I was outside all day Monday for Marathon Monday. No, I didn't run the marathon.
I was gonna give you your props, Evan.
Yeah,
no one has to know. So
it's true.
I could have went along with it.
No, you could have. It could have been like Davis Clark. Did you see that?
I did. Yes, he's grinding.
Shit his pants.
He's locked in.
Shit his pants. Respect. Bad day to be his underwear. That's for sure.
That happens, man. There's no qualms. I've seen people do that. They're like walking. It feels like they're literally on like death's door, walking. They go right to the Cheesecake Factory by the Prue. I'm like, listen, pal. Any place I wouldn't want you to go is the Cheesecake Factory. That's like I could go to so many more places. I mean, to be fair, you can carbo load up there, but I feel like at that point, I would just want to like go to bed for about 4 days.
I was going to say I would need to go to sleep for a really long time.
I'd probably change, no. and change pants, too.
Yeah, true. I have to wipe my... The Dude Wipes sponsorship after that would be incredible.
Elite, yes.
If you don't know who Davis Clark is, go look him up on Instagram. Really, really interesting fellow. But anyway, no, I was at the Red Sox like you were. Sat dead center field. Decided, you know what, Connor? Don't need sunscreen, right? Don't need sunscreen. Didn't really think of it. And my arms, my legs, a little bit of my face is burnt, which not a surprise. And I also forgot to take my allergy medication yesterday. So I'm a mess. I am just a complete mess, but it was a great day. It was a fun day. The Red Sox suck, but that's nothing new. But very fun day. Nice day. Always cool to see the runners. I always get in the spirit. I mean, marathon ran through, Framingham. So growing up, we always went to it. So it was great. I love Marathon Monday. It's always a fun event.
It's always a fun day. Always a good day in Boston, kind of regardless of where you are across the city. And again, it also feels like the official like starting point to arguably maybe the start of the best stretch of the year, right? You go over like April, you got NHL playoffs, you got NBA playoffs. Again, the Red Sox stink, but like the start of baseball is fun. You go right into May and into the summer. And then you go, even like we're in the best stretch because even like fall's awesome too. You like, and right until you get to like January, we're cooking right now, Evan.
We are. It's the beginning of cooking with gas. I would argue it starts a little bit before the marathon. For around here, it's definitely the marathon. In the general sports calendar, I feel like March Madness is sort of the opening to it. That's when it's like, all right, this is awesome. And then you got the NCAA hockey tournament, RIP BC. And it just kind of keeps rolling from there. Right now though is the best. And I think the spring, I love April. I love May. And then, if the Bruins are in it, I love early June. By the way, before we get to the Bruins in general, how about Zdeno Chara? 3 hours, 30 minutes, going to run another marathon. I mean, he's a cyborg. I mean, we knew that, psycho. But he's a freaking alien.
Yeah, unbelievable, right? And again, this is a guy that always seems to like have these different pursuits that he kind of tackles head on. This isn't like a little half measure he's doing of like, people who pick up a hobby. This guy commits to whatever he kind of sets his focus towards, and it's testament to him. I mean, it's one thing to run a Boston Marathon, to commit to that process, but to do it and then, as you said, run another marathon 6 days from now in another country, flying across the Atlantic, psychotic. Psychotic but impressive, right? That's probably the best way to put it.
It's like when you discover Chick-fil-A sauce and you have it for that first time and you're like, oh, this is like a nectar of the gods. Yes. And suddenly you're just having it all the time. That's like him with the marathon. Like he just loves running the marathon and he doesn't want to just like do it here and there. He just does it all year. And he looks like a runner now. Like just from pictures and stuff, he looks a lot slimmer than he did. I'm not saying he was fat. noted huge fat person, Zdeno Chara. But he just looks more like a runner now, and it's only been a year.
I mean, the fact that Zdeno Chara is such a monster out there, that dude could probably like just chug like an entire cup worth of Chick-fil-A sauce and probably still run the marathon. Probably would give him energy. Like, honestly, like his the Osmosis Jones inside of him would be like, we're cooking now. We got nitroglycerin in our veins. So,
yeah. And he wouldn't shit his pants from that. He would not shit his pants from that. No. So, but a great day, an awesome day. And happy for Zdeno Chara. And I'm, you know, somehow he'll break his own record in London. Sunday.
Probably.
We're recording this Tuesday. Midday. Bruins play the Senators Tuesday night in what's the final game of the regular season. I don't think the hockey world is going to be very focused on that game. I think there are other big regular season games that people are going to be focused on. You know, thinking about the Caps and the Penguins and, you know, that spot for the battle for that second wild card spot. But for the Bruins, it really comes down to they're either going to play Toronto or they're going to play Tampa. If they stay in first, they're going to play Tampa. If they move down to second, they'll play Toronto. And I would assume, knowing, you know, we've been doing this podcasting thing for quite a while, rest of the week, we'll probably spend a lot of time previewing the playoff matchup. But I still kind of want to hit the would you rather button of Toronto or Tampa. And we can kind of quickly break down each and where the Bruins have advantages, disadvantages in each. Let's start with this. I feel like I know the answer, but who would you rather have, Tampa or Toronto?
I mean, I would probably say in terms of just where the matchups probably better favor the Bruins, I would lean towards they'd rather play Toronto. That being said, like the more I kind of process, I have two trains of thought that are kind of changing what I think is the general consensus, right? Which I think is like Bruins should lose this game on Tuesday. They should play Toronto. Like they've owned Toronto in the past. A little bit more loosey-goosey on defense. Like, the Bruins can capitalize there. That being said, one, Toronto's playing actually at a very high level right now. They're, I think, fifth in the entire NHL in 5-on-5 goal differential. The Bruins are third. And I want to say, I believe this was Scott McLaughlin who mentioned this. Yeah, Lightning, 26th in the NHL in 5-on-5 goal differential.
I did see this.
The power play.
Scott's been huge on don't underestimate Toronto and don't overestimate Tampa.
Yeah. And also it's something where a lot of their shots from the net front, I think they're the best in the league, Toronto, at getting shots at grade A ice. Been an area of concern for the Bruins this year. So, I mean, again, you can also spin that in terms of like what's their defense look like, where's their secondary scoring, all these kind of things. And that's very valid. Ilya Samsonov maybe is not as intimidating of a name as Andrei Vasilevsky, but I will say, yeah, Toronto is not a team that should be kind of slept on as like, we know if they play Tampa, it's going to be seven games. There's a good chance they lose. And it's like Toronto's like, six games. We'll take care of them in their own buildings. Like, no, that Toronto team's playing at a high level. We all know their firepower up front and they're very dangerous there, but they do have some guys that have stepped up further down the lineup. And again, even if they're just leaning on their big guns, that's enough to win you a round or two. We saw that last year when Toronto beat, who did they beat in the first round? Oh, it was Tampa, right?
This is true.
They kind of took care of them. So
forgot about that one.
And again, people view, I think, Bruins, and rightfully so, that like Tampa is this playoff Leviathan that like knows how to win. Can, you know, they're like LeBron James, where it's like they can flip a switch after kind of cruising the last few months of the regular season, and playoff LeBron is a different animal. Again, Toronto kind of took care of their business in that series as well. So again, easier matchup between those two that are pretty tough, probably still lean slightly towards Toronto. But if you're the Bruins too, like my other train of thought, this is something that Ty Anderson mentioned, it's like maybe just try to go out and like slay the beast right away, right? It's almost like the Celtics get the Heat in the first round. Get it out of the way. Get punched in the mouth early. See what you got. And again, if Tampa is as advertised, then you've got a great matchup that's going to throw you into the fire right away and test you right off the bat. And if Tampa's maybe a paper line or they regress and Vasilevsky is the 900 save percentage goalie he's been this year, and all of a sudden you got a matchup you should be able to take advantage of, especially keeping them off the power play. So however you spin it, Evan, right, it's going to be a daunting matchup. And you can make a compelling argument either way as to who the Bruins should face. Like the matchups wise, Toronto's probably a little bit better, but talk about who they'd prefer or, you know, how they approach either one of those teams. It's going to be a tough out.
I don't think either matchup's easy. And I think, you know, for me, I prefer the Toronto matchup. I just think in terms of, you know, they're a little softer. I think, you know, in terms of that stuff, you should be more physical. You have there are times we see with the Bruins where it's like, wow, they're finishing every hit. They're kind of making people pay for going for pucks. Like that's a good thing. Where I think Toronto will give you worry is I think they're second in the league in total goals for. They have a lot of guns who can score. You cannot keep up with them in a track race. The upside to playing Toronto is they're weaker on D and they're weaker in net than Tampa, but they have depth in scoring. They have, you know, obviously Matthews, we got Nylander and Marner, and Bertuzzi's been better of late. And you have all these guys, you know, the guy like Tavares, I'm not saying he's been outstanding, but they can score in different ways. And if, you know, God forbid the Bruins goaltending is not where it should be, if their defense is more porous than it should be, that's going to be a quick series because Toronto has no problem scoring. So that's where I think Toronto isn't a great matchup. But where it is, you know, if you're in a defensive battle, if you defend them well, you should have no problem in that series. With Tampa, it's interesting because you mentioned them losing in the first round last year. You can make the argument that they're going to be hungry to not lose in the first round this year. And the same goes for the Bruins, by the way. The Bruins have been two straight years. So it's like,
all these teams do not want to lose in the first round. Everyone's pissed.
Breaking news. People don't want to lose in the first round. But with Tampa, they're not as deep. They're not as deep up front as a team like Toronto, but they are better on D. They're obviously a lot better in net. So that's where I the edge is Toronto, but it's not far off. It's not like this is 2018 and you have the mighty Lightning and you know, the lowly, you know, Leafs. I think this is closer than people. And I subscribe to the same thinking Ty does of maybe it's not the worst thing to get punched in the mouth. I'd rather they play Toronto, but if they play Tampa in the first round, it's like, all right, you're thrown straight into the fire. You got to show what you got.
Yeah. I feel like it's one of those things where we're going to get a lot of differing reactions, right? Regardless of what happens tonight in terms of what the Bruins do against Ottawa and how the results kind of play out. Florida's playing Toronto as well, which obviously has a lot of weight in that determination. But like they played Tampa, there's going to be a lot of doom and gloom on the timeline. Like out in five. Also, they're going to play if they draw Toronto, people are going to be like, just how they cooked it up. We're ready to go. It's like, however you draw, it's going to be tough, guys. Like Toronto should not be slept on because they are a very good team. And Tampa is not 2018 Tampa. They can be beat.
Agreed. And I also think if you're trying to lose to get a better playoff matchup, that's kind of loser-like, don't you think? Like, yeah. It's a little loser-like, and that always bites you in the ass. Because if you try to plan your way through the playoffs, A, it never works that way. And you know, you look at, like, Columbus in 2019, right? That team was really good on paper. And it's, you know, any team can do anything in the playoffs. And I just think it's not the best option to just intentionally lose a game for a different matchup. I mean, the Bruins would get clowned on if they went out against the Senators on Tuesday night, lose just, you know, so they can play Toronto. You know, if they intentionally lost, not, you know, if they lose 4-3 or something in a shootout, whatever, but if they intentionally kind of just put out a stinker and then, you know, play Toronto in the first round and lose, it's like, all right, well, what's the point of all that?
You start chasing matchups. You start looking at those things, you know, look at last year. People probably were like, well, Bruins could play the Penguins who are on their way out. The kind of eroding franchise in terms of being contender, but they still got Crosby, got all these guys that know how to win. We're gonna play Florida, who they suck on defense. They got Radko Gudas, Brendan Montour. You start chasing matchups, you start looking ahead of things before the actual puck is dropped. You're gonna run into trouble this time of year.
You're gonna regret it. Something you'll never regret. Our friends over at Prize Picks. Quick break in the action to tell you about my good friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Caitlin Clark, Connor McDavid, and Jude Bellingham all in the same entry. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back and not count that as a loss. Personally, the NHL regular season, it's winding down. And when the postseason begins, I'm taking more on David Pastrnak point totals. How could you not? I'm expecting a pretty big postseason from one David Pastrnak. And with the Red Sox, how can you not do the same on Rafael Devers' home runs? Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the Prize Picks app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Now, back to the show. It's so funny to me seeing on Twitter a lot of the people who are so negative about the Bruins and this team. Oh, they're out in the first. I just saw Ty Anderson tweet an article, and the first reply is like, they're going to be out in the first round again. And
Ty jumping right into the breach every playoffs. The man, I commend him for going into the comments, going into the replies.
Blows my mind.
A braver man than me, that's for sure.
I'm right there with you. I can't take it. And he gets the brunt of force of those comments, and he takes them all head on. So props to him for that. I've never understood it. And I mean, it's kind of funny that segueing into this topic of, you know, what are some of the things the Bruins you're sort of worried about with the Bruins going into the first round. So in some ways, I guess we're taking this negative approach. So, which is, you know, we're being like Twitter repliers.
We're raising the conversation, Evan, is what we're doing. So
that's all it is. We're throwing some things.
We're elevating the conversation, rather. We're sophisticating it, right? That's how it should work.
Has there ever been a word that's like more used in marketing and to sound really upscale than elevate? Elevate your experience.
Yes.
Elevate your impressions and things like that. It's always like, the word elevate.
I feel like we miss like the synergy train. But we're the elevation generation.
Synergy, yes.
I was spitting right there.
Promote synergy like a boss. People remember that, which is that's
real ones know. I knew I got that. I can get the Lonely Island references. I can't get your streamer jokes.
Sketch.
Yeah, I had no clue what you're talking that. About.
No idea.
It's like is that a Nickelodeon Junior?
Nickelodeon Junior. Is that what they, was this Nick Junior? Did they ever call that Nickelodeon Junior?
Oh yeah, here with Nickelodeon Junior. That was before. Really? That's before companies would be like, oh, we should. What if we shorten it, make it easier for these little children to say it? Yeah.
It's like, did you see Conan O'Brien on Hot Ones? And they were like, he's talking about HBO, or he's talking about Max. And he's like, yeah, let's change HBO Max to Max, a wildly popular name, and let's just make it something more obscure.
We stand with Conan.
Oh my God, I'm the biggest pro Conan person. My whole for you thing on Twitter lately has been Conan, because I liked like one Conan tweet, and it's great. I love seeing the bits. So going into this playoff run, you know, last year, looking back, there weren't really holes in the roster. There just weren't. They were a wagon. We expected, all right, at least, you know, to the conference, like 100% getting to the conference final. And it didn't happen. I think they finished the year winning 15 of 16 at the same time. We thought, oh, they're going in hot. Didn't matter. There are more holes with this team. There are some issues, which, again, every team faces playoff issues. What's something that you're worried about going into this postseason?
I would say probably, again, you look at like the goaltending and the defense and all that stuff. I'll say one thing is power play. You got to shore that up, because especially if you're playing, let's say you're playing either one of those matchups, whether it's Toronto or Tampa Bay, like Tampa Bay is so good on special teams that you have to step up and capitalize when needed. And again, you're not going to probably win a scoring outburst against a team like Toronto, but sure will help you stay afloat or stay in some of these games if you're able to get that power play goal across, either build a lead, get some breathing room, or, you know, as a way to kind of claw back into a game, because Toronto's a team that can score 2-3 goals on you in a hurry, right? So Kind of one of the negative parts of that pretty much snoozer game against Washington on Monday, they completely overhauled their power play unit in that game and didn't go on the power play once. So we still have no idea what it actually looks like.
Yes.
It's like, all right, we set these plans in motion. We actually have no idea what it's going to look like. Again, I can't see a scenario in which the Bruins are ride or die going into the playoffs with like a guy like Marchand or Coyle further down on the power play unit, but like maybe drastic things need to happen there. The one that I find intriguing is like whether or not McAvoy's running the show up top there, right? Which then it opens the door like, all right, do you want Kevin Shattenkirk there? Which at that point, like he'd have to be in the lineup, right? Because he was a guy that moves on the outside looking in for a pretty significant stretch of these weeks leading up to the end of the regular season. Or is it a guy like Lindholm, who I think's been really good in that spot, but put him on the power play, who's going to take some of those really taxing minutes that he's handed on the PK and on other shifts like that. So I think, you know, yes, the goaltending, the defense stopping grade A chances, those are obviously going to be huge pieces for this team. But when you look at the fact that the power play, just how stagnant it's been, how much it's been, so many times where they're playing way too much perimeter hockey, not kind of generating those grade A looks, that has to be something that needs to be corrected, especially regardless of who they draw in this matchup. You need that power play to start landing some punches in the playoffs.
I agree. And you know, you nailed it with like, you don't need to have the perfect power play. You don't need to be number one in the league or anything like that. But there are going to be times where you're down 3-2 with 5 minutes to go, you get a power play and it's like, all right, now's the time to capitalize or at the very least swing momentum into your favor for when you end up pulling the goalie. And the other part of it is if you play Tampa or Toronto, no matter who you play, there's going to be some roughhousing. There's going to be some fisticuffs, some mischief, and it's going to lead to penalties. Shenanigans is the word I was looking for. And sometimes you're going to find yourself on the power play and you've got to capitalize on those whenever you can. So I agree. The power play is probably number one. There's another big one that I don't hear a ton of people talking about.
What's that, Evan?
Well, I'll save it. First, our friends at Factor Meals. So there are some areas that certainly, you know, you worry about the goaltending. What are they going to do? Are they going to rotate? Are they going to go with Swayman? Are they going to go with Ullmark? They're going to go back and forth? They're going to give them a few games? Like, that's we've gone deep into that. But for the most part, especially lately, the goaltending's been pretty good. So, you know, they just got to manage it right. But we've talked about that a number of times, and I don't feel like going super in-depth on that on April 16th. We can go in-depth on that when it doesn't work out or it does work out.
Yes.
In the first round, but I don't want to spend a ton of time on that now.
We've got some panicky podcasts incoming.
Yes, we definitely do. And since we're doing two a week for each show, and we're doing a post-game show, me and Carl Corazini, you're going to hear us panic a lot, which would be great. So that's what this year is all about. You gotta overreact. There's no underreacting this time of year. Although I will say, I'll preface this, a game one is overrated either way. If you win game one, it's not as big a deal as you think it is. If you lose game one, it's not as big a deal as you think it is. That's what I think. You know, like you look at the Florida series last year, you look at St. Louis, that 2018 Tampa series, stunning game one wins. Oh my God. It doesn't matter. I don't think it matters as much as people think it does. So when I overreact to game one, you guys can hit me with my own words from April 16th. Scoring outside of David Pastrnak, Pavel Zacha, and I'll include Danton Heinen, just cause he's been on that line. Thanks to Ty Anderson. I saw him tweet this. So he did the stats. He did some research for me. He's my research man. I was like, can you
the numbers?
He was crunching the numbers. Since March 1st, Pastrnak 22 points in 19 games. He did this because he's been all over the David Pastrnak stuff. The people keep coming at him. Which, you know what I say? Keep going at him. Because I think he just tweeted something out like, I'm going to stop replying to these people. He's not. He's going to keep going. So just keep sending anti-David Pastrnak stuff. He'll find more and more stats to prove you guys wrong. He'll continue with it. Pavel Zacha tied with Pastrnak, 22 points in 19 games. That connection has worked out great. Heinen, 14 points in 19. Then Marchand, 14 points in 19. DeBrusk, 13 and 19. Coyle, 10 and 19. Geeky, 9 and 19. It goes on and on. Point is, there hasn't been a lot of scoring outside of that line. And, you know, for a long time, we used to say, oh, the Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak line scores all the goals. But at least you knew that line was going to be, you know, able to overcome pretty much any matchup. What worries me is if that line of, you know, Heinen, who's a fringe top six guy, who's just, you know, he's done a really good job alongside Zaka and Pastrnak, but he's not this overwhelming force. If that line gets shut down, where are you getting the scoring from? And I think that's, to me, one of the real scary parts. That's why that power play needs to be better, because you're going to need to make up some lost ground on the scoreboard with that. Now, obviously, the Bruins have gotten by fine this season with their record, but I still think in a seven-game series against a team like Toronto or Tampa, or the next round if it's Florida or, you know, whoever it is, you're going to need to score. Go figure. And if one line gets taken out, you know, if a team, which they're going to try to shut down David Pastrnak, it's one guy. What's the rest of the team going to look like scoring, you know, scoring goals? I think that's one that not a lot of people are, I feel like, talking about. And that could really hurt them, whether it's Toronto, we talked about this earlier, not winning a scoring race with the Maple Leafs, or even the Lightning. They're not deep, but Kucherov is still dominant, and Stamkos has been great, and Braden Point. Like, you have all these guys who can factor in. Anthony Cirelli's been awesome. So to me, it kind of goes hand in hand with the power play, the scoring outside of Pastrnak and Zaka. Who is stepping up? Because, you know, and it's hard in a seven game series too, because you know your enemy so well. And you know, do the Bruins have to go on kind of a Denver like run and just, you know, win games 2-1, 2-0, en route to, you know, a cup run? Maybe that's what they have to do. But that just means they got to be even better in net and in their own zone.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, as you said, depending on who they play, like, regardless of whether it's Tampa or Toronto, like, I can't see a lot of 2-1 games on the horizon. Like, it'd be great if the Bruins are adhering to that identity and their goaltending is at a high level and their defense really locks things down. You'll take that. But, like, it's just not feasible. You're going to have to probably win like a 5-4 game, or, you know, 4-3 or anything like that. And you can't just, as you said, rely on the guys like Pastrnak to lead the way. You even look at that game last Saturday in Pittsburgh, right? Where, like, DeBrusque has a really good game, gets rewarded with a goal. Morgan Geeky scores the goal. Like, this team does look completely different when you have more guys up and down the lineup that are, you know, generating chances, driving play. And again, like, you look at Coyle, Marchand, they're obviously going to be key pieces there. They might be kind of your shutdown line, your de facto shutdown line, the Coyle line. So that's going to draw away from some of that production. So sometimes you need kind of a game breaker like Jake DeBrusque to, you know, score on like a rush, or, you know, fight for that kind of greasy goal to give them an opportunity there. You need Trent Frederick, who's gone pretty quiet since like the middle of March. You need him to be driving play on that third line. It feels like every team that goes on a deep run, and this is no different from the Bruins, right? Whenever they go on a deep run, their third line is clicking. And again, we don't really know what that ideal third line is, but you have to imagine that Frederick and Kiki are the two key pieces on that line, and you need them to play at a high level as well. Like, this is a sneaky, I think, big postseason for Frederick, who has not really been able to get a lot of traction the last couple of years. And he's a guy, you look at the way he plays, his ability to, you know, be physical, but have an underrated offensive game, can possess the puck. He should be a guy that's built for the playoffs. And last year he averaged, what was it, like 10 minutes and 11 seconds of ice time per game. Didn't play in two of the games in Florida, because it's a team that likes to muck things up. So you need guys like him to step up, and not just, you know, you'll take the fact that they have 3 goals and 2 assists in a 7-game series, but just impact the game. Like, have those shifts that contribute to the overall winning product out there on the ice. You desperately need that from this team this postseason.
You do, and I think it hits at another thing of, does this team have a shutdown line? Does this team have a line that can go out and shut down Point and Kucherov and Duclair, or, you know, or Matthews and like, does this team have that line? Doesn't feel like they do. Now, do you task the Coyle line with Marchand to do that? Like, is that something you're going to explore now? I mean, you're having a top six line that's out there, you know, in a lot of D zone draws, and you're not expecting a ton of production from. So then maybe you're, you know, expecting your third line with guys like Frederick and Geeky to produce more. Like, is that the move? You know, in past years, it's been that fourth line, you know, with Nosek for a while, or you think back to 2019 with Corrali and Achari, you know, those guys shutting down other teams' top lines. I don't really know what the shutdown line is with this group. And I think that's another area of stress where it's like, you know, are you just going to like, how are you going to match the lines? We won't know that until you get a first round matchup. But like, I am curious to see how they match, how Jim Montgomery matches their lines. Cause I think that that's going to be, imperative for this playoff run. But yeah, we've gone through our worries. We've gotten them. We've put our worries into the universe. Now, you know what our worries are going into the postseason. I will have a lot more this week on all of those things. Connor, what can the people look forward to from you over at the Globe and Boston.com?
Yeah, we'll have it covered throughout this postseason. We can finally say that. Whether it's recaps, a few features, columns, breakdowns, series previews, obviously, all that good stuff you can find over at Boston.com and the Globe. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at ConnorRyan_93.
Go do all that. That's Connor Ryan. I'm Evan Marinovsky. We're presented by Prize Picks. You Bruins beat listeners. Have a great rest of your week.